genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Now, our theme today is power. Maybe no two places are more associated with power than business and in Hollywood. In the second half hour, we're going to be talking to a man who is a publicist, a screenwriter, and is a Hollywood historian. He's going to talk about power in Hollywood and how it's changed over his 45-year career. If you're feeling powerful and you want to join in the conversation, you can give us a call at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. Michael Druxman is a veteran Hollywood screenwriter whose credits include Cheyenne Warrior, starring Kelly Preston, Dillinger and Capone, starring Martin Sheen and F. Murray Abraham, and The Doorway with Roy Scheider, which he also directed. He is a prolific playwright. His one-person play, Jolson, has been several productions throughout the country. And he is, to his credit, has other one-person plays about Clark Gable, Carol Lombard, Spencer Tracy, and Orson Welles. Additionally, Mr. Druxman is the author of 13 other published books, including several nonfiction works about Hollywood itself, its movies, and the people who made them. For example, Basil Rathbone, His Life and His Films, Make It Again, Sam, A Survey of Movie Remakes, and many, many others. He's written two novels, and he is an acknowledged Hollywood historian. He's also written television documentaries, and he's been interviewed on various retrospective featurettes that have accompanied DVD releases of classic films like The Maltese Falcon. He's a native of Seattle, Washington. He graduated from Garfield High School and then went on to the University of Washington, but was enamored with Hollywood and soon made his way down here. Since then, his wife, Sandy, and he have moved from Los Angeles to Austin, Texas, back in 2009. His latest book is a memoir, My 45 Years in Hollywood and How I Escaped Alive. Welcome to the show, Michael. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine.
Well,
doing
good.
Fine.
Happy to have you on the show. I mean, let's get into it because, Michael, you are a busy beaver. You're a prolific writer. Screenplays, stage plays, books, novels. I mean, you've done it all. How did you settle on a writing career?
Well, you know, I've always been interested in storytelling. And I didn't start out to be a writer. I started out, you know, as all people, you know, who want to go in the show business, the first thing you want to be is an actor. And then I got sort of bored with that in college. And then I figured, no, I want to direct. So I started directing plays. And, you know, once I got to Hollywood, you know, I realized that it all starts with the writer. I mean, writing is really, the original screenplay or what have you, is really the only really creative part of making a movie. Everything else is interpretation of the original.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what I want to do. I enjoy telling stories. You know, that's what I feel is my calling in life, is to tell stories.
You are a born storyteller.
Absolutely.
Huh?
I like working with other writers to help them develop their stories, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like that. I agree with you. Writing is the only truly creative process in Hollywood, so very neat. Now, I know you as a press agent to the stars. How did you make that transition from writing to becoming a press agent?
Well, I guess I've been doing PR for, 10, 15 years, and I was living my dream, you know, because when I was a kid, I was starstruck, and I wanted to, you know, I was in Hollywood, and I was representing celebrities, and I was going to, you know, parties and premieres, and, you know, meeting people like Sinatra and Gregory Peck and Jack Lemmon and all that kind of stuff.
Sounds totally glamorous.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was great fun, but I really wasn't, and I was making a very good living as a publicist, and I really wasn't very satisfied. Because, you know, you write a biography and you write a press release. But I wanted to do more, so I decided, you know, I'll write some, you know, movie-oriented books were very popular in the late 60s, early 70s, the films of stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I looked at what they had, and I said, you know, they're very interesting as research, but I think you can do more. I think, you know, most of these were based on pre-existing material. The writers would go back and look at old movie magazines. They'd go to the Academy Library. And I said, why don't they go and talk to the people who knew, who were actually there? And that's what I started doing on mine. My first one was on Paul Muni,
mm-hmm.
and the second one was on Basil Rathbone. And, you know, for about 10 years, I was writing these kind of books. I did one, although it wasn't the films of, I did one on Merv Griffin and worked with him on it, and he liked it so much he put me on his show.
Wow. Now, I don't want to talk about that because Merv is one of the great interviewers. We're talking to Michael Drexman, everybody, whose new book is My 45 Years in Hollywood and How I Escaped Alive. So let's talk about that. What was it like working on the show with Merv Griffin and having being a guest on his show?
Well, what happened, and the way that came about was that a friend of mine who wrote Hollywood books was offered, they wanted to do, the publisher wanted to do an unauthorized biography of Merv, and he didn't want to do it. And I had, you know, I knew Merv slightly because, you know, I'd bring guests down to his show, my client. And I said, so I contacted Merv and I told him about the project. I said, look, the thing's going to be done whether you want it done or not. I have no desire to hurt you. If you cooperate with me, I won't let you rewrite the manuscript, but I will show you the manuscript before I submit it to the publisher, and you can correct any errors in fact. And
mm-hmm.
You know, we did a half a dozen, eight very lengthy interviews together. I wrote the book. I sent it over to him. He sent it back. I still have the letters he sent me with it. I'm very pleased. Do you think Robert Redford should play me? And so the book came out, and it did very well. He put me on the show, and I was scared to death because it was the first, you know, I'd done radio and actually local TV interviews before, but I'd never been on a national show, and here I am. But so they were easy on me because usually Merv didn't give people the questions, and but he gave me the questions he was going to ask because he knew I was a virgin.
Nah. Well, I thought it was quid pro quo. You let him see the biography, and so he let you see the questions. It was just
right.
Fair play.
Yeah, and but you know, for years after that, and actually until he passed away, you know, whenever I'd run into him, oh, here's my biographer.
That's great. We're talking to Michael Drexman, everybody. Now, Michael, you are a bit of a Hollywood historian yourself. Our theme for today's show is power. So tell us, what power shifts have you noticed in Hollywood during your 45-year career?
Well, you know, the major thing that I think would change Hollywood actually happened when I was a kid, which was the beginning of the end of the studio system. I think when the studio system, when the studios were bought out by the big corporations, and you had corporations making artistic decisions when basically filmmakers were making before. You know, I mean, people like Jack Warner and Harry Cohn and Louis B. Mayer. I mean, they may have been SOBs, but you know, they knew what the public wanted. And now today, these corporate, you know, it's well, we'll take a survey. You know, we'll see how the public feels about this. You know, that's why we got such. I haven't been to a movie for a year in a theater.
Wow!
Because they're junk. I mean, there's a few movies that have come out this year that I've wanted to see. I'll wait till they come out on DVD and I rent them. And they're little pictures. I think the biggest budget picture that I like this year, that's been out so far this year, is Green Zone, the Matt Damon picture.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because it had a good solid plot, and you know, it was intelligently done. It wasn't one of these superhero type of things where CGI. You know, CGI, I think, is, you know, it's got a good point because it can take you to worlds you've never been before. You couldn't make Ben-Hur today without CGI. But on the other hand, directors get a hold of it and they say, oh, let's show off what I can do. and they forget the story, and that's you get these 15-minute car chases in movies which have nothing to do with the story. It's just a bunch of stunts, and I think that's what's ruining movies today, is they're forgetting story, and that's where it all begins.
It does. It begins and it ends with the story. We're talking to Michael Druxman, everybody, Hollywood historian, and has been in Hollywood for 45 years, and he's escaped to live to tell about it. You've rubbed elbows with some very, very famous people in and around Hollywood. One of my favorite stories from the book is your early in your career when you worked with Elvis. Tell us about that, and what did you think of Elvis?
Well, actually, Elvis, that was in Seattle.
Right.
I was still in college. And in 1962, we had the Seattle World's Fair. And Elvis came up there and did a movie called It Happened at the World's Fair. And one day, it was during the summer, I had nothing better to do, and they were looking for extras. So I went down there, $10 and a box lunch. And I didn't really care about the $10 of the box lunch. I wanted, when that movie came out, I wanted to be able to pick myself out on the screen. And the only way you can do that for an extra is you got to be close to the star. So this assistant director would stick me way in the background, at the World's Fair. And so I'd look like, I'd be a human ant. And so, it takes about 45 minutes to an hour to set up a shot. So he sticks me back there, and I sort of start working my way up to the front, and because I figure, what's the worst that could happen? I'm going to lose $10. They're going to catch me and kick me out, and I lose $10 in a box lunch. So, at one point, I'm standing right next to Elvis, and we're having a nice conversation. I mean, he's a nice guy, nice, friendly guy. And Colonel Parker was sitting on the set, and he sees me. And he tells that he talking to Elvis, and the assistant director comes over and he says, "You don't talk to Elvis." And he says, "Don't I know you?" And I said, "I don't think so." He said, "Look, kid, I know what you're doing. Just be smarter about it."
That's great.
But if you go to the movie, if you see the movie, I'm in it. You can spot me. It's a very it's a well known scene in the movie, because there's a scene where this little boy kicks Elvis in the shin. And the little boy is Kurt Russell. And in that one scene, you can see me walking. If you know what I looked like back then, it was quite a bit different. I was 20 years old at the time. I'm walking back and forth twice.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
We're talking to Michael Druxman, everybody. He's the author of the book, My 45 Years in Hollywood and How I Escaped Alive. And, Michael, when we come back, we're going to have to take a short commercial break. When we come back, I want to do something that I do with a lot of guests, which is called a quick fire. I'm just going to give you the names of some people that you have worked with in and around Hollywood and get your top-of-mind opinion about them. And we're going to start with one of our own right here in Ventura County. That's Larry Hagman of Dallas. Don't answer that now, but when we come back after this short break.
And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. We also stream over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. Today's show theme is power. And in my second half hour, we've got a powerful man down in Hollywood. He actually is a Hollywood historian. His name is Michael Druxman. His new book is My 45 Years in Hollywood and How I Escaped Alive. And during his time, he has been many things. He's been a screenwriter. He has done books and novels. He's also been a publicist. And in your role as publicist and your varied roles within Hollywood, you got to rub elbows, Michael, with a lot of very interesting people, including one of Ventura County's own, Mr. Larry Hagman of Dallas. Tell me, how did you and Larry's paths cross? And what? Just give us some background, some skinny on Larry Hagman.
Well, I was publicist for Steve Canaley, who was on Dallas. And, through Steve, I would run, I'd go be down to the set all the time or what have you. And, that's how I knew Larry.
Mm.
I remember Larry on Sundays, to save his voice, I don't know if he still does this, but he wouldn't talk. He would not talk. I think it was on Sundays, because you'd run into him and he'd just wave and whatever and put his fingers to his lips. But, and also Larry, you know, did I dream a genie with Barbara Eden? And one of my dear friends is Barbara's former husband, and Michael and Sarah. So I knew him through Michael and Barbara,
and
too.
Barbara as well. Wow, right. interesting. Now, Abe Vigoda.
Yes.
How did you know Abe, and how did your paths cross?
Well, you know, Abe is really a very inspirational story, because Abe was a bit actor in New York, TV, little bits and TV shows on the stage, and he made his first movie at age 50, and the name of that movie was The Godfather.
Yeah, just a little film.
Little film. And, that's the first time I'd ever seen him, and, you know, everybody was sort of impressed with him in that film, and then the next time I became aware of him was Barney Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I really like this guy, so I called him and through his agent. I knew his agent. And we got together, we had lunch, and he became a client. And, you know, I still talk to Abe all the time. He's living in New York now. I talked to him a couple weeks ago.
Ah.
And but, you know, the thing with Abe was, after Barney Miller went off the air, People magazine erroneously said the late Abe Vigoda. You know, they ran a story about the end of Barney Miller.
Hmm.
And actually, Jack Sue had died during the run of the series, but the writer made a mistake. So we took a great big ad in Variety and Hollywood Reporter of Abe. We took a picture of Abe sitting up in a coffin with holding People magazine and saying, "The late Abe Vigoda."
Reports of his death were a bit premature.
Yes.
Interesting. What about Roy Scheider?
Well, Roy Scheider, I directed in a film in Ireland called The Doorway for Roger Corman. I'd written the script for Roger Corman, and we shot it. He had a studio in Ireland, and we were supposed, you know, the film actually takes place in Massachusetts, and we brought in Roy, and he played the lead. But he was great to work with, and we got fairly close, because we were the only two people in the company who were over 30.
Oh.
So we got pretty close.
Oh, that's great. That is great. Now, an actress that maybe some people don't know about, Catherine Hicks, who was on Seventh Heaven. She starred opposite Stephen Collins, who was a guest on our show. Tell us about Catherine.
Well, I don't really know Catherine that well. She played the female lead in a film I wrote called Dillinger and Capone.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, we had a nice chat one day on the set, and so I didn't really know her that well. She was just, you know, in the film.
And, sure.
I don't, you know, I ran into her a couple years ago at the Hollywood Collector Show in Burbank.
We're talking to Michael Druxman, everybody, author of the book, My 45 Years in Hollywood and How I Escaped Alive. And, Michael, you kind of switched then from representing actors towards representing more directors later in your career. What prompted the change, and what's different about publicizing a director from publicizing a star?
Well, I didn't really switch. It was, you know, whoever came in the door.
Oh, okay.
You know, I represented, you know, they were all, you know, interspersed. You know, I represented Edward Dmytryk, who directed The Caine Mutiny and Crossfire and The Young Lions, and I directed... represented George Sherman, who directed Big Jake with John Wayne. And,
yes.
And, you know, I did a lot of composers, John Williams, Ernest Gold, Paul Francis Webster, and Sammy Fain.
Wow.
And, you know, you never know who's going to walk in the door.
There you go. Interesting. Well, now, as part of the golden age of Hollywood, one of my very favorite actors was Cary Grant. And you had an interesting encounter with Mr. Grant. Tell us about that.
Well, I was writing a book called One Good Film Deserves Another. It was about movie sequels. And as was the way I would send out letters to everybody I wanted to interview. And I think I was doing a chapter on the Topper movies, and he was in the first one.
Right.
And so the day after I mailed out the letters, the... At 10 o'clock in the morning, the phone rings, and I said, yeah, hello. And Michael Druxman, yes. One moment for Cary Grant. And Cary Grant comes on the phone. I am totally unprepared. And I must have sounded like a blithering idiot. Because, you know, he gave me a very nice interview. He was very charming. I remember one thing, you know, a movie is his that I really like is Arsenic and Old Lace.
Yes.
And he said, oh, I hated that picture. You know, he got pissed off at me for that.
Really? Yeah. What did he like?
Movie. I hated it.
Really? Why didn't he like it? I'm curious.
I don't remember. He just, I honestly don't remember why he didn't like it. But,
interesting.
But I think it's one of the great comedies.
Oh, yeah. It is very funny.
But he didn't like that.
Mm.
But,
what was his favorite, or did you get into that?
No, didn't get it. All we did was talk about Topper, basically Topper. And I remember one thing he said to me, you know, since everybody else is dead, you know, who's going to challenge what I tell you now?
Very true.
Yes.
Well, now, another character from the old Hollywood days, and he's one that has really been forgotten with the passing of time, is Jimmy Durante. He is a stage and a screen actor and a comedian. What do you know about Jimmy Durante?
I love Jimmy Durante. Jimmy Durante was the greatest. He is the first celebrity I ever met. I was like 9 or 10 years old. And, you know, my folks had brought me down. We were in Los Angeles. My folks had brought me down with them, summer vacation or spring break or something like that. And we went to a restaurant. I believe it was on La Cienega, because it's not there anymore, called the House of Murphy.
Okay.
And are you familiar with it?
No, I'm not. I'm a Ventura boy.
And I remember sitting in the booth, and sitting right across from us is Jimmy Durante. And I had, my mother had bought me an autograph book, and I went over and asked him for an autograph. And he was such a warm man. I mean, he picked me up. He sat me on his knee. He talked to me for 10 minutes.
Wow.
I mean, to me, there was nobody like Jimmy Durante. I mean, when he died, I cried.
Mm.
I've known so many people who knew him, but nobody has ever said an unkind word about this man.
Well, it's interesting, Michael, because the theme for today's show is power. And at the height of his career, Jimmy Durante was known on both coasts for movies and for Broadway as well.
And television.
So what happened? I mean, we're talking about power. His light went out after he died. Now we hear very little about him. What happened to the legacy of Jimmy Durante?
Well, I don't, you know, I run into people today who don't know who Clark Gable or Humphrey Bogart is. I think it's the passing of time. I think, you know, that people are forgotten. I mean, do you ever watch Jaywalking?
No.
I mean, Jay Leno, Jaywalking, and they ask these people, you know, your average person who, about anything in the past, and they don't know. I think it's just the passing of time, and some of them, some people are remembered and some aren't. Time marches on.
Time does march on.
It makes me feel, I remember a few years ago I was down at USC Cinema Department talking to some students, and I mentioned the name Spencer Tracy, and they had no idea who Spencer Tracy was, and these are cinema students.
Right. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. We're talking to Michael Druxman, everybody, and his latest book is a memoir, My 45 Years in Hollywood. But you are, like I said at the beginning, a prolific writer. You also wrote a book titled Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, From the Secret Files of Harry Pennypacker.
Right.
Now, I mispronounced his name, but tell me, who is Harry Pennypacker? This one really piqued my interest. And why is he forgotten in history?
Because he never existed.
Uh-huh.
It's a spoof. I had more fun writing that book than anything else I've ever written. It's a spoof of Harry Pennypacker was possibly one of the greatest columnists during Hollywood's golden era. It's really a revisionist history. He was a prolific, revered newspaper columnist, colleague of Luella Parsons, Walter Winchell. But unfortunately, nobody's ever heard of him because the papers never ran his column. They were too dangerous, too hot. And, I mean, because according to Harry Pennypacker, did you know that Oz, The Wizard of Oz, was actually filmed on location? So Oz was a real place.
No, I did not know that.
Did you know that Mae West and W.C. Fields were actually the same person?
That's scintillating stuff, especially back in the 40s and 50s.
Did you know that James Dean was not killed in that automobile wreck?
Oh, wow.
No, he was badly maimed. He went on to playing, well, he played the lead, you know the science fiction movie, he played the title role in The Black Scorpion. He used to do a monster picture. I just let my imagination go on that, and I had a ball.
Well, weren't you really sending up journalism at the time, too?
Yeah. Yes. I remember, years ago, I never wrote the book for certain reasons, but I was investigating the William Desmond Taylor murder of 1922, mm-hmm. which was it's still unsolved officially, but it was a very famous murder.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Hollywood director, ruined the career of a couple of, the murder of a couple of big silent film stars. But I remember I'd be going through the newspaper files of that era, and months after the murder, you know, if there'd been a liquor store robbery, they'd say, you know, liquor store, could it be connected to the Taylor murder? You know, the way these tabloid press, you know, even today, National Enquirer and all that kind of stuff, I mean, you read they give you a sensational headline, and then you go and read the story, and it's so out of proportion. And I decided just to have fun with that.
Oh, that's great. It was a very funny, funny book. And we've only got about a minute left. We're talking to Michael Druxman, everybody. Michael, you've been around Hollywood for 45 years. So just in the minute that we have left, give us some ideas of how to break into Hollywood, and what are your secrets to longevity in the industry?
Tenacity. You just can't give up, no matter how much the rejection. You cannot give up. It's if you're going to come to Los Angeles, and if you want a serious career in film, you've got to come to Los Angeles, because that's where you do the important networking. And make sure you can make a good living doing something else. They don't need any more waiters or waitresses in Los Angeles. By the way, if I may, I'm going to be in Glendale, California, on Sunday, October 17th at 2 p.m. at the Mystery and Imagination Bookshop signing my book. That's on Brand Avenue in Glendale, the Mystery and Imagination Bookshop, October 17th at 2:00.
Oh, we wish you well for that. We're talking to Michael Druxman, everybody. His book, My 45 Years in Hollywood and How I Escaped Alive. He's a real, true Hollywood historian. A lot of backstory of all of your famous stars and some of the goings-ons in Hollywood as well. Michael, I can't believe our time is up. Thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. And if you missed all or part of this interview with Michael, you can hear it up on my website, Brainstorming Online. That's Brainstorming, STORMonline.com. That brings us to the end of another show. You've been listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Coming up next is Living Your Inspired Life with Susan Burrell. We end each show by saying, go out there and be the change you want to see in the world. Remember, the leaders of the past didn't hold with today's conventions, and neither will the leaders of tomorrow. We'll talk to you tomorrow.